Tonight's word is from Joshua chapter 6. Worship team, I think you can be seated. It's fine. I'll let you guys. You guys have been standing for quite a while. Joshua chapter 6, verse 13 from the New King James Version. And it came to pass. Isn't it great that all things come to pass? They're not here to stay. When Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell to his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor." Amen. You may be seated. Jericho will fall. That is the theme of my message tonight. Jericho will fall. Yerihonul va cădea. Jericho will fall. Amen? There are many Jerichos in our lives that we want to fall, right? Brothers and sisters? And tonight's message is about a message of hope, of victory, as we sang. Jericho will indeed fall. It has come to pass. It is not here to stay. The kingdoms of this world, they shall too come to pass. And they will fall. Jericho will fall. I'm happy to see some people here tonight, especially this morning. I was really happy to see Marcella. She came from San Francisco. Back from school. If you guys didn't notice her, she's over there. Say hi, Marcella. She's part of our church, and it's always good to have young people coming back from college to visit. Be nice to her and say hi. But it's good to see people here. It's good to see new faces and the same familiar faces, too. This is our family. And tonight we're just going to be in the family, and we're going to talk about some things that are in the family. But I think they pertain to all of us, those of you that are watching online as well. Something that we all fight with. How many people here tonight have ever felt like they were running in circles or moving in circles in their lives? I did. This is a story about a group of people, actually a people, an entire nation, that has been moving in circles. For the last 40 years, the Israelites have been doing nothing but moving in circles. And now they're about to go into Canaan. And in front of them, there is Jericho with its massive walls. The walls of Jericho are about 11 feet high or so. You can imagine this behind me is a little bit taller than that. Probably about 15 high here. But it's multi-layered. So there is a slope, and then on top of that, there is another wall. And the people of Israel, they don't have modern warfare technology to be able to climb the walls and take the city. It is a wonderful story. We could spend an entire day talking about it. There are so many wonderful characters. There is Rahab, the harlot, for example. You know, Joshua sends two spies into the city. And the spies are being hidden away by this harlot named Rahab. You all know the story. They come there's word around town that there are spies in the city, and so they send basically officers to come and knock on Rahab's door, and she hides them away, and she says that, oh, they fled. Go get them. Go run after them. And then she helps the two spies escape, and it's a very classic scene where they're being lowered from the walls, the city walls, on rope. And they make a promise to her that the city will be destroyed, but that her and her house and her father's house will be spared. Interestingly enough, if we pay close attention to the scripture, Rahab's house is actually on the wall. It's on the city wall. The city walls are coming down, are about to come down. And this woman that is a sinner, that basically makes a living out of selling her body, is saved, is spared. God is going to destroy the entire city and decides to save this one. It's a beautiful story. There's a lot of richness and layers in it. But the character that I want us to focus on tonight is Joshua. I love Joshua for many reasons, but one of the reasons I love him a lot is because he's a fighter. And if you've been a people that have been circling around in the desert for the last 40 years, what you need right now is a fighter. What you need right now is somebody that's going to go and take the city and help you get into the promised land. And this is who Joshua is. It's a characteristic that we love in leadership. We want people that are fighters, that will fight, that are not afraid to lead, that are not afraid to go charge. But this strength, this apparent strength that Joshua has, it's also his weakness. This is what's beautiful about him. The fact that he's a fighter, and that we love that about him, is also part of his weakness. Joshua has a tendency to go to war in a flash. When you've been in a series of battles, you're prone to fight. Is that not true? Who are the fighters in here tonight? Those of you who've been in a lot of battles. And the moment you see a battle coming your way, the first thing you want to do is attack. The devil throws something at you, and the first thing you want to do is counterattack. That's Joshua. That's the spirit of Joshua. And it's something that should be encouraged. I hope that, and I pray that God raises Joshuas in our church. We need a lot of Joshuas these days because there's a lot of battles to fight. And it's something that we want to encourage. You know, we keep telling, or society actually keeps telling our young boys to not be so aggressive. Don't be so aggressive. You're too aggressive. This boy is, let's calm him down. We need that, though, because when you're going to be under attack or you're about to take a city, you want to have a couple of Joshuas on your team. Is that not right? To be able to do the fighting. So Joshua is prone to fight. He's a warrior. He's so practical in his approach that he doesn't recognize God. He doesn't recognize God in this moment. So he thinks that it's a man. He thinks that it's a man. You see what the word says here? Behold, a man stood in front of him. And then Joshua charges him, and he says with his fighting spirit, are you for us or are you for the enemy? Are you for me? Are you against me? Are you on my team or are you on the other guy's team? I love, absolutely love, the way the commander of the army of the Lord, as introduced here, and now I have come, the way he answers him, what does he say? What does the Lord say to Joshua? Are you on my side or are you on the other person's side? What does he say? Neither. Interesting, right? We want God to pick a side. Are you a Democrat or are you Republican? Are you with this church or are you with the church across the street? And sometimes we're like kids, you know, when they get in a fight. Mom, whose side are you on? Right? You're always on her side. You're always on his side. And like kids, we want God to pick sides. And we want God to be on our side, right? Are you on my side? Are you on the enemy's side? Interesting. That we want God to come and be a part of our agenda. And it's an aggressive warrior provocation from Joshua. He does not recognize God. And one of the beautiful things, one of the beautiful lessons of this passage is to be able to recognize God in other forms. You know, when there's the storm on the water and the disciples are in the storm and there's the well-known scene of Jesus walking on the water. And the first thing the disciples do, they look out in the water and they think it's a what? It's a ghost. One of the things that God wants to do in your life is to be able to recognize him in other forms. He's not showing up all the time the same way. The disciples, after Jesus resurrected, did not recognize him. And he showed up many times during the, you know, post-resurrection time. And the disciples didn't recognize him. We as religious people, we love God to fit into a template. We want him to show up in a certain way. You know, when we hit a rough spot, when we go through some trouble, you know, we go to prayer and we're all with our hands in the air and we're like praying in tongues and believing God and please, Lord, come now and come in this way. There's been so many times, though, that people have said, God spoke through me. God spoke to me through a license plate. God spoke to me through a commercial. Or God spoke to me through someone at work. God spoke to me through a text message I received, a word. Why are you always expecting God to show up in only one way in your life? What if he wants to show up a different way? And think about all the times that God has shown up and you did not recognize him. Think about the times we missed God because we think that God should show up like that. He should show up when, you know, the worship team is here and the music is hot and everybody's with their hands up in the air, and, you know, that's when God should show up. And yes, God shows up. But he's also showing up when you're driving down the street, when you're driving to work. He's also showing up when you're lonely at home. He can show up there. But will you recognize him? Joshua does not immediately recognize God. But God is showing up in a new way because it's a new challenge, and a new challenge is a sign of progress in our lives. We don't want new challenges in our lives, but when we have new challenges in our lives, it's an opportunity for God to show up in a new way. So don't expect that he's going to show up in this new challenge in the same way that he's been showing up. He may show up in a completely new way. Are you open to having an encounter with God? And this is there are two things that I want us to take away from tonight's message. Number one is, before you go to battle, you need to have an encounter with God. Before you go to war, before you go to fight the enemy, you need to have an encounter with God. You may not see him. It may not be the same way. It may not be the same way that it was for your parents. You may not be baptized with the Holy Spirit for example, in the same way that your mom and dad were. So regardless of what they're telling you, this is the way, this is the formula, God may be working in your life differently. Are you open? It's the question. Are you open to God showing up in a new way? The beautiful thing here that God answers Joshua is that Joshua says, are you on my side or on the enemy's side? God says neither. God says neither because it's not about me being for you. It's about you being for me. It's about you being for me. It's not about, is God on your side? The real question is, are you on God's side? Are we on God's side? Are we fighting the fight that is the Lord's? We sing, the victory is the Lord's. Well, if the victory is the Lord's, that means that the battle, the fight, is also the Lord's. It is not your fight, brother and sister. It is his fight. The thing that's fighting you is the same thing that's fighting him. That doesn't mean that because it's God's fight, that you don't show up, that you don't show up to fight. But the battle is the Lord. That's why the angel of the Lord God of armies answers him, neither, no, I'm neither for you nor the enemy. I am for the Lord. This is the Lord's battle, and it is the Lord's fight. Do you want to enter into this fight? And if you do, the strategy is going to be completely different, and we'll get to that. You know, Joshua, he's had episodes like this in his life before. We remember in Exodus 17, he's at the Battle of Amalek, a classic story of Moses and the power of prayer. They're fighting the Amalekites, and Josh is in the heat of the battle, and Moses is on top of the mountain. And the moment he's holding his hands up high, and the moment he leaves his hands, his tired hands down, the fight is being lost. As long as Moses keeps his hands high, and he's praying, and he's interceding for Israel, Israel's winning. And Joshua is fighting. And he believes that he's winning because of his own strength. But Moses is up on the mountain, and he's praying. He's praying for him. I had an incredibly challenging 2 weeks, these last 2 weeks. There were times when I came home even at 11 o'clock at night. It was very difficult just working and trying to meet deadlines. And this morning, I had a couple of sisters, older sisters, that I love dearly, that came to me in the hallway and said, "We are praying for you." I didn't realize why I was able to get through the 2 weeks until this morning when they said, they looked into my eyes, they grabbed my hand, and they said, "We're praying for you. We're always praying for you." And that is just such a beautiful, powerful thing to have. Sai cineva care să se roage pentru tine. You know, I still believe that I'm riding on my grandmother's prayers from 14, 15 years ago. I used to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, sleeping at her house in Romania. She was praying for me. And those prayers, they followed me ever since. I believe it. It's a beautiful thing to have someone praying for you. And it's not because you're tough, and it's not because you're good that you're winning. Joshua thinks he's winning because he's a good fighter. But he's winning because God is on his side, and there's somebody interceding, and there's somebody who has their hands held high. Joshua is so aggressive. He's getting in the way of his own help. Have you ever had that happen? To get in the way of your own help. Fighting away those who love you. Fighting away those who are praying for you. Fighting away the paramedic that's trying to get you on the ambulance. Fighting with your spouse. Fighting with your parents all the time. Fighting the help. So many times when we're going through a battle, we fight the people that are trying to help us. But God is saying, the battle is not yours. The battle is mine. And you're not going to win this because of your own strength. If you're going to win this, you're going to have a new strategy. In order to get a breakthrough, you're going to have a real encounter with God. And the hardest thing for us is to manage between what is my responsibility and what is God's responsibility. You cannot just assign God a post in your army. Like, I want God on my team. You know, we like to have God be with us. And it's always, I'm always dumbfounded by when we start new things, new initiatives, new programs, new things, and we say, you know, God be with us. It's like we're kind of, you know, sending God an invitation, an RSVP, to come to be with us. We want God to have a post. We want God to have, of course, an important position in what we're doing. But that's not God, what God is interested in. He's not interested in joining our team. He's interested in us joining his team. Are you ready to join God's team? Because you can't beat this devil with what you can do. The devil that's after you, you can't beat him with what you can do, with your abilities. No matter how smart you are, how artistic you are, how creative you are, how brilliant you are, how wealthy you are, you cannot beat this devil with what you have. You cannot tear down this wall, Joshua, with your strength. This zidurile acestea nu pot fi penetrate. This wall cannot come down, cannot be penetrated with your own strength and your own intelligence. The other beautiful thing I see in this passage is that Joshua is told to take his shoes off. Take your shoes off. Take off the sandal off your foot. Because the place where you are standing is holy. You are on holy ground, is what the Lord tells him. But Joshua is on the battlefield. He's not in the temple. He's not in an altar. He's on the battlefield. But the Lord is saying, this is sanctuary. This is your sanctuary. The Lord has turned your situation into a sanctuary. How many of us look at our situation as a sanctuary? This is holy ground. This is a workshop. This is the atelier where God is working on you. This is holy ground. How many of us in a hospital? You know, some of the greatest experiences with God I've had in a hospital. Some of the greatest, I felt the presence of God in the hospital, going and visiting sick people, or going and taking my own family to the hospital. I've had the greatest experiences with God there, not in church. It's sanctuary, brothers and sisters. One of the greatest experiences I had with God was in the unemployment line. When I was desperate to find a job, and I turned my head to God and I said, only you can help me. And God said, you're on holy ground right now. In the unemployment line, in the hospital, in the parking lot, in the refugee camps, anywhere you go where there's suffering, there's pain, that can be holy ground. What is your sanctuary? What is your situation? God is turning your situation into sanctuary. And he's saying to you, this too shall pass. Jericho with all its walls shall pass. You will be standing when Jericho will be in ruins. You will still be standing when everything around you has gone. The problem has gone away. Your healing has come and gone. And you will be standing when the earthquake stops. You will be on your feet. Amen? It has come to pass, brothers and sisters. Jericho has come to pass, and it will fall. But this is the strategy, and this is where it gets really interesting and beautiful, what God is telling this guy to do. I mean, he's a warrior, so he's used to military strategy, right? So he's expecting that God is going to give him this amazing military strategy about how to take down this fortification, and that it will solidify his name in history, Joshua, as a great military leader and commander. And in front of his people, too, he needs this. He needs this validation from God. And God is telling him to just walk. Just walk, take a walk. When was the last time God told you to just take a walk? Instead of fighting, take a walk. This is exactly what God is telling Joshua. You're not going to draw your sword. You're not going to devise some new mechanical warfare to mount those walls. I'm not going to send the angels. They're going to blind everybody in the city, and then you're going to go in with your sword and cut them down. You're going to take a walk. So Joshua takes a walk, and he's walking. Has God ever told you to take a walk when the enemy had you all surrounded? Has God ever told you to do something silly when you were in your lowest point? To go and bake a cake when you're feeling so down? Make a meal. Take a walk. Call somebody that you would probably never call in your life. Sometimes, in order to be victorious, you have to be willing to do something that makes you look ridiculous. Are you just going to take a walk, Joshua? And then he tells his What I want to imagine is that he's telling his commanders and his officers and his soldiers that this is what God told them to do. Actually, it's interesting that he doesn't tell them everything. When he's giving them piecemeal information. He says, when I tell you to sound the trumpets, that's when you'll do it. They don't know that how long they're supposed to walk. Imagine being in the army. Imagine being one of Joshua's soldiers. You wake up in the morning and you go, and what are we going to do today? We're going to walk around Jericho. We're just going to take a walk. You go home the next day, back, your wife asks you, how was work today? Well, we just took a walk. And again, a walk. What is this guy? Who is he listening to? What is happening here? And The beautiful thing about Joshua is the lesson that he teaches us here is that victorious Christians are not the most gifted or the most talented or the most strongest or the most brilliant. Victorious Christians are the most surrendered. What Joshua is doing is he is surrendering completely to God. And he's taking a walk, and he's like, whatever happens, what God just asked me to do is totally insane. I'm looking up at the wall, and it's still here. And it's day one, and it's day two, and the wall is still here. Not a single rock. I'm sure they were looking up to see if maybe something was happening to the wall. Maybe there was a crack. Maybe there was something going on. Joshua was looking, and nothing was going on. And it's been 6 days, and they've been doing this over and over again. And on the last day, the Lord told him to do it seven times. To do it seven times. And then to do the most insane thing of all, stand in front of the wall that you've been staring at for the last week, this wall that has not been coming down, this wall that you've been praying for and it's not coming down, this family that you've been praying for and it's not coming together, the kid that you've been praying for and is still on drugs, the bank account that you've been praying for and it's still negative, the debt that you've been praying for and it's still mounting, stand in front of that wall and shout. And shout. That is the most insane thing that you can do. How can you do that? To stand in front of the wall and shout. Because anybody can shout when the wall is down. Anybody can shout when the wall is coming down. But God is asking him to shout when the wall is still up. Brother and sister, I don't know what walls are in your life. But God is telling you to take a walk. Joshua is going to come here. He's going to help me demonstrate a little bit about what that was like. So we're going to take a walk. Hey.
What's up, dude?
So we're going to take a walk. And it's the wall. It's still here. It's still here. We're going to keep walking. And it's still here.
What's the deal, man?
Exactly. I don't know.
How many days?
It's been a long time now.
Wow.
I don't see anything happening. Nothing's happening through the wall. But now, we're going to turn to the wall, and we're going to shout. And then, the wall comes down. That was beautiful. He's saying, get in front of the wall as if the wall had already been down. Get in front of the wall and bring it down with your shouting. And bring it down with your praise. And bring it down with your worship. Bring it down. Let's stand before the Lord. I don't know what walls are in your life. Josh, you're not done yet, man. Come on. I'm going to have you blow from that trumpet one more time. We're not going to do a big altar call and a big... We're going to blow the trumpet. Josh, you're going to help me out again. And I believe that when Joshua, his name is Joshua, it's not happenstance. That it was him that is our trumpet player tonight. When Joshua blows his trumpet, I want you to think about that wall that is in your life. And I want you to believe. And I want you to shout. I know you're not, you're Romanian Pentecostals and you're conservative in shouting. That's okay. Some of you can shout. Some of you can shout inside your heart. And I know that you've been doing that. Maybe some of you for years. But brothers and sisters, tonight, the walls will fall. Jericho will fall. Whatever Jericho is in your life tonight. You know, we came here to have an encounter with God. You didn't come here to have an encounter with the ushers, no matter how wonderful they are. You didn't come here to have an encounter with the worship group. With all due respect, you did not even come in to have an encounter with me or with Fratele Pastor Lazar Gog. You did not come to have an encounter with people. You came to have an encounter with God. And he is here tonight. And the walls will come down. So Joshua, on the count of three, whatever wall is in your life, brothers and sisters, think about that right now. A moment of silence. Think about your wall. If it's health, if it's an exam that you're waiting for, to next week it's happening, or whenever it's happening, if it's a deadline, if it's finances, if it's something having, if it's your marriage, if it's your relationship with your children, or relationship with your husband, or relationship with your wife, If it's a big decision in your life and you don't know, God is going to give you a new strategy tonight. The wall is still up. It's still facing you. It's still in front of you. But ready? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let the walls come down. Hallelujah. Praise God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise Him for the walls coming down. Praise Him for Jericho coming down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing down the walls. Thank you, Lord, for bringing down Jericho in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for showing up in a different, new way. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for sending Jesus to come and to say, "Fear not, for I have already won. Fear not, for the battle is not yours. The battle is mine. Fear not, my child. Fear not, my son. Fear not, my daughter." Hallelujah. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Jesus winning already the war. Thank you for Jesus winning the fight. Thank you for Jesus who has conquered death, who has conquered sin, who has conquered everything in our lives. And we, with Him, we are victorious. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise Jesus.